So we've been doing a series called Sonship, and we're on week three, and we've been using 1 Peter chapter 2 as our theme verse. I'm going to read it out the New American Standard this morning. It says this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." When we begin to discover our value, when we begin to discover that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into God's family, and you begin to discover that when you've been adopted into God's family, that he calls you royalty because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he says that you are a royal priesthood, that you stand face to face with God. Why does God want you to discover this? It's so that you can effectively love people. Because the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And love others or your neighbor. And like Jesus said in Luke 6, your enemy. Hello? As you love yourself. How many of you know that it's hard enough to love your spouse? And God wants you to love your neighbor and your enemy. Hello? You see, that's why it's so important for us to discover how loved we are by God, so that we can love ourselves and we can love our neighbor and we can love our enemy. And that's why I need to remind myself, I need to discover what God has said he has done in his son Jesus when we receive him and we've been adopted into his family, and we can cry out as sons and daughters of God, Abba, Father, because we begin to discover our value. We begin to discover our worth. We begin to discover who we are as children of God so that we can love people. Sonship was always God's idea. This is where we discover our redemptive value, because remember when God created Adam and he placed him in the Garden of Eden in a place called paradise. And in a relationship with God, Adam began to discover who he was as God's creation. And then he chose to believe a lie, and sin and sickness and poverty and death entered into this world, and the consequences of that affect us all. So Jesus came as a man, even though he was God, to redeem us and place us back into that God's original intent and desire for you and I as sons and daughters of God. Where we begin to discover that when God blessed Adam, the word blessed there is barak, it's like God went down on his knees and he said, man, this is a good thing that I've created. You are blessed. I bless you. And I speak of greatness. So Jesus comes again and he redeems us back to that place of God's original intent, which is relationship with God as Father. Where I can cry out, Abba, when I begin to discover that I am chosen by God, elected to be a royal priesthood, where I begin to discover my nobility and that I'm adopted and I am royalty to be a priest. Why? So that I can display the wonderful virtues of the kingdom. That I can show the world, listen, when you receive Jesus and are adopted into this family, you too are a part of royalty. And we live accordingly. This was always God's idea. In Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6 in the Passion, it says, "And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. Through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure." See, this is the key for healthy self-worth. This is a foundation for you to be consistent with regards to how you feel about yourself. See, the Bible says that we need to love our enemies. But you know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Because we don't love and value what God loves and values, which is yourself. So you can be your own enemy because you sabotage your own life because you choose not to believe what God has declared and what God says about you. So you value others and you value other people's opinions and you value what your bank account tells you and you value what your body is telling you rather than valuing what God tells you. See, and that's the source of our problems is because we are looking for our value and our sense of worth on other things rather than God, the one who made us. So, do you value what God values? Self-worth is what you believe God thinks and feels about you. That's what self-worth is. A healthy self-worth is somebody who actually believes what God values and what God sees and feels about that person. See, unfortunately, we're looking for it in all sorts of places. In Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46, this is at the Passion. It says, heaven's kingdom realm can be illustrated like this. A person discovered that there was a hidden treasure in a field. Upon finding it, he hid it again. Because of uncovering such treasure, he was overjoyed and sold all that he possessed to buy the entire field just so he could have the treasure. This is talking about Jesus as God and as the Son of God, leaving his exalted place to become a man and take on our sin and our punishment and our judgment and purchase us with his own blood, own blood because he sees you as being the treasure. That's what he's saying heaven's kingdom realm is. And then he hides it again because the Bible says that your life is hid with Christ in God. He comes and hides you in himself again so that you would never ever be lost again. Verse 45, heaven's kingdom realm is also like a jewel merchant in search of rare pearls. When he discovered one very precious and exquisite pearl, he immediately gave up all he had in exchange for it. The word precious there is talking about unique. That God sees you as being so unique that he would give all in exchange for you. See, this blows my mind that we think that God would give everything for you. That if you were the last person on this planet, he would still do it for you because he sees you as having such value. In Psalm chapter 8, verse 7, it says, you are crowned with glory and honor. In the Hebrew there, it talks about dignity and worth. That you have worth. You are worthy. And in the preceding verse, it says, David is writing, he's saying, what is man that you would think of me or even care of me? And he says, but you have made him just a little bit lower than Elohim, God himself, and crowned him with glory and honor. Dignity and worth. In Afrikaans, it says it this way. Wat is die mens dat u aan hom dink? Die mens storm dat u vir hulle omgee. U het hom 'n bietjie minder gemaak as hemelse wesens en hom gekroon met roem en eer. U het hom in beheer gestel van alles wat u hande gemaak het. U het vir hom mag gegee oor alle dinge. You see, there is... When you begin to discover your value, when you begin to discover your worth, the Bible says that you will begin to have dominion. That's what he goes on to say. He says you've given him power and dominion over all things. Why? Because you know who you are. You know who you are as royalty. See, the thing goes pear-shaped when I'm looking for value and I'm living my life as an orphan. It's just about survival. So when life throws lemons at me and things go pear-shaped, I go pear-shaped. Because it's like, oh, what are we going to do now? Instead of recognizing, no, we can consistently trust in God because he's faithful and persevere in his promises because we know that he is true. And we know who we are and whose we are. But we fall apart because we forget who we are and we forget who God is. And we come back to God as orphans instead of responding as sons and daughters. To be crowned there means to be covered. It means to be encircled or encompassed about. And the Bible says that you are crowned with glory and honor. The word glory there is talking about a heavy weight of splendor. It means yielding to something abundantly. Dignity is talking about a legal title of nobility and honor. This is what God has crowned you with. Honor means excellence, magnificence, beauty, and majesty. It means one whose worth is brings respect. That's what God has crowned you with. You got to understand that God is captivated by you. You are the crown of his creation. He's given you glory and honor. In Psalm 139, it says, "You knit me together." In verse 15, "I was woven together in the dark of the womb." In the Amplified, "I was intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors." In the Message, "I was sculpted from nothing into something." God took time in creating you, just the way you are. In Ephesians 2:10, "It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Jesus Christ. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives helping others." You see, the reason why we don't value others is because we don't value ourselves. But when we begin to discover our value, then we can begin to value others the way God values others. You've got to recognize God rests in the perfection of his creation, which is you. God's so comfortable in your presence. God's resting in your presence. He's not awkward around you. You know, some people, we're in their presence and we're awkward. You don't know how to respond. God rests in the beauty of his finished work. God rests in the beauty of his creation, which is you and I. See, God has always, especially if you look at the life of Jesus, how he came to restore people's dignity and worth. He came to restore and put them back into the place of God's original intent toward mankind. So if you think of the man who had a legion of demons, who ran around breaking chains, who was naked, running around in the tombs. After Jesus sets him free, the Bible says he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And then it says, and all the other people were afraid. If you think about the woman who was caught in adultery. Hello, she was caught in the middle of adultery, which means she was naked. Can you imagine standing up here naked? Can you imagine the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment? And they wanting to kill her and condemn her. And Jesus would have taken his robe and covered her and asked her the question, "Where are those who condemn you?" And she said, "There's no one, Lord." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't do something which is beneath you. You royalty. You've encountered perfect love." And Jesus responds, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." In Matthew 8, the leper, ostracized from his family, from society, has to live outside, away from everybody. And if he has to walk around with a sign, shouting, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." The Bible says Jesus touched him. Because he came to him, said, "Lord, if you're willing, make me clean." He touched him, saying, "Listen, there is nothing in you that can change who I am. I am so good, when I touch you, my goodness overwhelms everything that is bad." I use this illustration, I used to use it on the crusade field, of a 100-rand note. So how much is this worth? It's not a trick question. How much is this worth? It's 100-rand. And what happens if I take 100-rand and I make it as small as possible? How much is it worth? And if I throw it on the ground and I kick it around, how much is it worth? And if I stand on it and abuse it and make it dirty, how much is it worth? 100-rand. There's nothing I can do to change its value. See, there's nothing that you can do to change the value that God has for you. Whether you've been kicked around, whether you feel small, whether you feel like you are nothing, whether you've been abused, God's value is still the same. He still sees you as having value. See, what happens if this gets lost? Has it lost its value? What happens when you discover it? That which was lost, that which I thought was gone, has been discovered. See, and that's what happens for every person who responds It's like all of heaven rejoices because that which was lost has been rediscovered because of their value toward God. You see, you have such value toward Him. And it's when I begin to believe it that it begins to impact how I respond to life, how I respond to people. In 1 Corinthians 16, it says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made His own. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your body." So this question has to be answered. Are we expendable? See, religion tells you that you're expendable. How do we receive this value? Well, if I give a gift, yay. What happens? You say thank you. So my wife didn't work for it this morning. She received it. And what's the response? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have seen me as somebody who has value, that I'm a son and a daughter of God. You see, religion will tell you that God will if. Religion tells you, if you are, then God will. Religion tells you God will bless you if, God will heal you if, and there's a condition attached to it. But in 1 Corinthians 1:20, Paul says all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. You see, if I'm in a relationship with somebody and I don't know where I stand, if one day it's yes and the next day it's no and the next day it's maybe, there is no consistency and there is no trust in the relationship because it's like, well, I don't know what the response is going to be. I don't know what the answer is going to be. So I can't trust this person because, you know, they're unstable. So if I was good enough, then the answer is yes. But if I missed it this week, well then, I'm not so sure. And that's why Paul says all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Him, so that you can know that God will always be the same and consistent with you with regards to His promises. He's not waiting for you to get your ducks in a row. How long, I mean, some of you are 80 years old and you still haven't got your ducks in a row. How long are you going to wait before you can trust Him? In the Amplified, it says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in Him Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, or so be it, to God through Him, in His person and by His agency, to the glory of God." You see, our source of worth and value has to come out of what God says. Our source of love, our source of comfort has to be out of what I believe and feel God feels about me. And that is where my self-worth is determined, not by people. So what did God do to show me that He loves me? Well, He leaves heaven. He becomes a man. He takes on a human body. He comes and demonstrates God's love and intent toward mankind. He then goes to a cross to pay for something that we could never ever pay for. And God's holiness and His justice and His righteousness demands that sin be punished because sin came in the body of a man. So all men needed to be punished. And God's righteousness demanded that. But God's love for you and I didn't want me to be punished. So He becomes a man and takes on that sin and pays the price that needed to be paid for all mankind, for all eternity, to show us how much He loves us. And He gets whipped and hangs on a cross and takes the full wrath of God upon Himself so that righteousness could be paid for. And He goes to the grave and goes to hell for you and I for 3 days, defeats death, and rises in newness of life, and then says, "You're included." As a proof payment of His love for you. As a proof payment that you are valuable and that you are the crown of His creation and that all you've got to do is believe. And it's like it confuses our religious mindsets. And religion hates it because they'll tell you, you got to earn it, buddy. You got to work for it. And he says, will you believe for it? They came to Jesus and said, what must we do to work the works of God? And he said, believe in the one who sent me. And we find it so difficult to believe God's view and opinion. And that's what the word glory is. The word glory means view and opinion. And we find it so difficult to believe our value because we get our value out of what people think and what people say. You see, the one who influences you the most is not the one you believe in. The one who influences you the most is the one you know believes in you. Let me say that again. It's not who you believe in that's going to influence your life. It's the one you know believes in you that will influence you the most. For the positive and for the negative. Do you believe that you are worthy? Worth what God paid for? See, if I don't, it will manifest in the spirit of an orphan. Which means that I'm going to start mixing with the wrong company. Why? Because I don't believe that I'm worthy of mixing with the right company. So I've got to find people who actually won't bring out the best in me. So are you choosing to surround yourself with unhealthy people who bring out the worst in you? If you are, then maybe it's a sign that you don't believe you're worthy of friends who will love you well. Maybe you believe that noble friends are out of your league. So it's like I've got to hang out with people who are less than, because that's who I feel I'm worthy of being friends with. 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, and associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. In the Message Bible, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. In the Afrikaans, it says, Hey, wat met wijse mensen meng, verkry self ook wijsheid. Meng jou met dwaase en jy word self soos hulle. So who do you fellowship with? Who do you hang out with? Are you hanging out with people who bring out the best in you? You see, why do gangs start? It's gangs start because people feel loved and accepted in that environment. And they'll go through some initiation, but what do the gangs say? If anything happens to you, we're there for you, buddy. And I saw that when we were in Joburg, my wife and I led one of the guys from a renowned gang. I'll just tell it. He was part of the Hell's Angels. And he was tattooed from here, front and back, and on his chest was, I die for my brothers. And he literally would. They paid him a retainer of a lot of money every month to have his telephone number. So if the Hell's Angels got into trouble, they called him. And my wife and I led him to Jesus. And part of the story I'm trying to make is when you are a part of that environment, there are people who will literally give of themselves. Why? Because they're part of a group of people who love and accept one another. And that's why they get influenced. See, who you're hanging out with is going to influence you, positively or negatively. Be proactive. Listen, if we dealt with marriages last week, eh? If you're single, ladies, don't fall for the first muhu who comes and pays you some attention. Just because he's giving you some attention, you've got to make sure that he believes what you believe. You've got to make sure that you're valuing what God values. Are you valuing yourself? Hello? If you're single, the people who you hang out with, you become friends with, are the people you marry. Moving right along. Just be proactive in picking your friends, please. Don't let your friends pick you because you have a low self-worth. Learn how to have quality relationships with people who bring out the best in you, who will inspire you in your walk with God. Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hey, married couples, you know that your partner will influence you more than God will? Very quiet at the moment. Your partner will influence you in your relationship with God more than God will. And I've seen it so many times. People who I know being called into the ministry, and because of their partner, they never ever fulfill what God has for them. Your partner will influence your destiny more than God will. Moving right along. 2 Corinthians 6, from verse 11. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Interesting. See, it's not, what are we valuing circumstances, life, and people rather than God. So we feel small. But the smallness we feel comes from within because of what we're believing. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way, I'll live in them, move into them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters to me, the word of the Master God. Pick your friends wisely because you are valuable. Because God says that you are a son and daughter of God. Begin to value what God values, which means value yourself. And because you value yourself and you see yourself as God sees you, then you can make choices that are consistent with what you believe. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to encourage you. You are royalty, a son and daughter of God. Which means you are deserving of everything that Jesus came and did for you. If Jesus died for you to experience his promises, if Jesus died for you to experience abundant life, if Jesus died for you so that you could recover your identity in him, because he is faithful and true, you can trust him. And it's time that we as sons and daughters began to believe what God said. That he has crowned you with glory and honor, dignity and worth. He believes you valuable. Maybe life circumstances have tried to steal your value and your sense of worth. Maybe you've looked to people. Won't you bow your heads this morning? I just sense in my heart there's some of you standing here this morning. You looked to people to get your sense of worth and value, and they've disappointed you. God's invitation is, believe what I have declared. Believe that I have purchased you back as my own. Don't allow the opinions of people and man, circumstances, a bank account to determine your worth. Believe what I say. Believe what I did for you. A crowned one, child of the King, adopted and set apart to be a part of my family. Receive the gift of ownership, of love and acceptance. Become a part of my kingdom and recover your identity in me. There is no man, there is no circumstance who has determined or purchased you like I have. Receive the spirit of sonship and cry out, Abba, Father. Maybe you're standing here this morning, you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. You've never discovered what it is to be a child of God apart from your performance. Jesus is inviting you into a relationship with himself where you can discover who you really are in him. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to lead you in a prayer this morning where you can be loved on by God himself. With no one looking around, if that's you and you'd like me to just lead you in a simple prayer, won't you just slip up your hand so I can see you? And I'm going to lead you in a prayer to receive abundant life. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. And many times there's a battle between the head and the heart. Listen to your heart. That's where God speaks. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Can we pray with those who lifted their hands and for those who wanted to? Can we just pray together? Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I confess you as Lord. Thank you for adopting me. I'm your child. I'm saved. I'm born again as I receive your life. Thank you that I belong to you and that you love me. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, Lord. Thank you that we can discover who you've said we are, that you've redeemed us and purchased us and justified us, called us. Thank you, Lord, that we are your own special people, elected by you, chosen to be holy. Thank you that you have declared that we are a royal priesthood set apart to display your kingdom. That we were at one time people who had not received mercy, but now we have received your mercy, your compassion, your care, and your kindness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that all of your promises are yes and amen, and that you are trustworthy. We thank you for your love for us, Lord. Your wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You are valuable and precious. You are highly favored and deeply loved of God.